Hey guys, today we try to see how much life is left in a high mileage E30 M3. Will it break the bank or will this be a performance bargain?
Oh, snap. What happened? It looks like it's time for a brand new episode of Bid Nerds. Michael Deeb, my partner in San Francisco, is joining me like he always does daily. I'm here in the Rami studio in downtown Las Vegas in the Container Park. What's going on, partner?
I am here in my dungeon, yet to be named studio, but probably coming up close with a name because I think, as you keep mentioning, we are inching closer to 1,000 subscribers, at which point we will put the vote out to the herd to name this dump I live in and do the show from and see what it comes up with. We have some really good early favorites. The Vroom Room. I could be coming to you from the Vroom Room. Cousin Mark throughout the Bid Cave. And then we had several calls for the Green Fist something or other.
The fisting room,
the green fisting room, which, hey man, you know, if when you look at me here, that's what you think, I'm totally okay with that. You know, it is what it is. I mean, you know, I am who I am. What can I tell you?
Deep cave.
So there you go.
Yeah. All right.
We'll figure it out.
We'll figure that out. Shout out to all of our nerd herd out there. You say we're inching closer to 1,000. I think we're inches away from 1,000. I mean, we are so dang close. I mean, we're talking like dozens. We just need a few dozen more subscribers, and we finally get to our 1,000 mark. We've been clawing our way towards that, and we love doing the show, and we're going to keep doing it. And I think when we get to 1,000, we're going to start doing a live show. So let us know what day of the week you guys think we should do a live show, the day that makes it easiest for you guys to join us. If we do that, that would be a lot of fun. Making predictions. But yeah, man, we are doing it. We're doing the show. And what, Michael Deeb, so just for the record, you got a new gig. You are now working the big guys, the Haggerty machine. You're part of that. What happened?
Which reminds me, offline, we have to figure out a new time to do the show because I'm gonna be at work on the day we do the show.
They actually make you go somewhere?
Well, no, but next week for sure, I've got a bunch of like training to do, like on Zoom calls. I for sure, our regularly scheduled time is off the menu next week, so we'll have to figure that out. But I am, or will be, in a week from now, the newest car specialist for Broad Arrow Group Haggerty Marketplace. It'll be my job to source interesting cars to bring to either the Haggerty Marketplace online auction and classified platform, as well as the Broad Arrow Group branded live auction, which happens at least twice a year at Monterey Car Week and Amelia Island in Jacksonville, Florida. This year, they will have a third live auction, which is happening just a week from now. In fact, less than a week now, which is Porsche's 75th anniversary sale at the PEC in Atlanta. If you haven't already, go to the Broad Arrow Group website and take a look at the catalog of all the cool Porsches that are going to be featured in that auction this weekend coming up in Atlanta. There are some incredible cars, and it is worth a few minutes of your time. If I can be of service to you and a car you're looking to sell, or a friend of yours who has a car they're looking to sell, please feel free to direct message me on any of the platforms, and we can get in touch and talk about that. It would be my great honor to help anyone in the herd out, or any friend of a member of the herd, and to do so. So just reach out and we'll get it done.
And just to be clear, we are not sponsored by Haggerty. We are not sponsored by Haggerty Marketplace. Not yet. Not yet. We're all for it, but that is not something, just so you guys know, you know, we are still independent in our voice, and we're happy to sell out. Okay, but like to our good friends at God and Classic, we're big believers in those guys. Yeah. They support our show, and go talk to Steve down there if you are looking for a classic Porsche. They always have a pretty darn good selection of cars there, and they're always finding new stuff. And honestly, Deeb, look, every time they get something new, it never even makes the website. Like,
I know. Isn't that crazy?
He gets a car in, and you know, he'll tell me, "Oh, we're getting car X, Y." I'm like, "Oh, cool. I'll come down and see that." And then it's just like, "Where's that? Where's that? You told me about 2 days ago." Yeah, it's always sold. So yeah, if you got to act quick over there.
Yeah, when I was there, and again, it's six of one, half dozen the other, I think. But like when I was there, we had a massive inventory of classic cars. And the thing about classic cars is it's difficult to borrow money against them and then floor them because you have to pay interest on them. And some of those cars can sit for a really long time, especially if you have a lot of them. And I did in a, you know, not the strongest classic market in the late teens. What Steve did came in, and again, I'm an armchair quarterback away. Like, it looked like he sold the remaining inventory, and they bring in like a car or two at a time. And then as the cars are going through reconditioning, they're doing a great job on social media, letting people know that those cars are out there. And oftentimes, as you're mentioning, those cars are selling before they hit the showroom floor. Yeah. So he's just doing one at a time, doing a really great job concentrating on those cars and getting them sold. And my hat's off to them. They do a fantastic job. But if you're interested in a car, you have to follow Godin Classic on Instagram to see that car the moment it touches the dealership. Because once they start reconditioning, they're already fielding offers and negotiating deals on those cars. Oftentimes, they don't make it to the front line. Don't wait. Don't snooze. Talk to Steve in advance. Let him know what you're looking for. And tell him the Bid Nerd sent you.
Yep. Exactly. Good advice. It's the only good advice we'll give you. The rest of this show is going to be nothing but bad information. We are misinformation right here. We're in the community notes. These guys know nothing and definitely don't take our advice. Okay, what do we do on the show? Yeah. We find the most interesting car of the day from all the auction sites. If you're new to the show, we talk about that. We find the most interesting car of the day. We have a conversation about that car. We'll tell you all about it, and then we will predict what we think will happen with that car's auction. And then we go into the future. We have a time machine right here. We push that button, we go into the future, and we find out what the results of that auction will be, and we reconcile our incorrect predictions with what actually happened, so you can see how wrong we are. So stick around to the end. That's where it really gets interesting and sometimes spicy. All right, Michael Deeb, what is today's most interesting car of the day? This is certainly one of the best sports cars of all time, is it not? What are we talking about?
All right, so what we're looking at is on Bring a Trailer, and it is a 1988 BMW M3. This is completely unsubstantiated. I am going from my memory, and my memory is not very good, but I believe, without having confirmed it, that this car used to belong to you and I, our good friend, Mike Anderson, who works at Godin Porsche of Las Vegas. Hmm. Mike is from the Portland, Bend, Oregon area. His father was a Porsche dealer at, I think it was called Carrera, right? Carrera Motorsports up there in Bend, Oregon. Am I saying that correctly?
Carrera Motors.
And I believe that back in, and let me read you my notes. I'm guessing, I did not confirm any of this. I think that in 2005, Mike bought this car, and I think he owned it till about 2012, because this car was sold at Carrera Motors. And was owned in that region for those time. And I think that's when he owned the car. This car sold on Bring a Trailer, not by him, but by somebody else, in September of 2018. And it went for $53,000, showing like 124,000 miles or something like that. And when that happened, and my desk was pretty close to Mike's desk, I remember hearing him say out loud one day, "Hey, that's my car." And I knew he was looking at the M3. And so I believe that this is that car, and it used to be his car. And as such, it's a really nice car because he wouldn't have owned any junk. Mike is a dyed-in-the-wool, hardcore Porsche aficionado. Obviously, his father was in the business. He's in the business. Mike owns a couple of really nice cars. And if he had this M3, I bet it was a nice one because I don't think he would have owned any junk. Despite the mileage, this car looks to be in beautiful condition. In Alpine white with the black interior, I would say similar to that E34 M5 we covered like a week ago, JP. I think that from that period, this is one of the more attractive colorways, that distinctive Alpine white with a black interior. This car has a Getrag 5-speed transmission, a limited slip differential. It's the 2.3 liter S14 inline four that makes, like 192 horsepower and 170 pound foot of torque. The current owner of this car has spent a little bit of money on it. Some of the highlights include a brand new clutch, a new drive shaft flex disc, and put new valve cover gasket on the car. And then, of course, the regular maintenance with oil changes and tune-ups and things like of that nature. But the car is here. It's on Bring a Trailer. It's a bit of a miler, but E30 M3s are bringing big money. This car sold for not that much money in a soft market in 2018. I think it's going to do pretty well on here today. I think the guy that has owned this car, despite having spent a couple bucks on it, is going to come out smelling pretty good. If you're interested and you're looking at this car, I say bummer to you that you're not buying it from Mike Anderson, because I have seen the classic cars in his garage and he keeps them in impeccable condition. This car certainly benefited from his ownership when he had it. It certainly seemed to benefit from the owner. But the only bummer is that you're not buying it direct from Mike, because then I could tell you without question that this car would be in as excellent condition as it could be. But I still think it's going to do pretty well on here today, JP. So I send back to you one of our favorites, the high revving, high strung, boxed flared, fixed wing DTM homologation special known as the E30 M3. One of, if not arguably one of the most legendary cars BMW's ever made. I send it back to you. What do you think of the car? And you know Mike better than I do. You know, what do you think about the way he takes care of his cars as an endorsement of this particular vehicle? If I'm right, because again, I didn't confirm it, but I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it definitely bodes well if it was Mike's car. I have no idea if it was or wasn't. I don't think I knew him at the time that he had an M3. I don't remember ever seeing an E30 M3 down there at the Godin dealership. But no, I mean, this car is beautiful. I don't know. I'm a little concerned looking at that front bumper. If it's me, I'm looking. Is it just me? That front bumper is not the same color as the car.
Okay.
A repaint on a front bumper is no big deal. That kind of stuff happens all the time because they get peppered up. But when you can tell just looking at a computer screen from the first time, it's like, that was a really crappy job. And, you know, one thing on BAT is people can be very, very nitpicky to just an unbelievable, annoying degree. And it'll be interesting to see if that's something that winds up coming up. You know, obviously, do we really got to talk about the E30 M3 and whether, you know, how great it is? Of course it is. You're watching this video, you already know how good an E30 M3 is. It's one of the greatest cars, sports cars ever made. And it really is what made BMW. I mean, look, the BMW has made great cars. They have unbelievably great classics out there. And this era is the best era for BMW. And it seems like they've lost their way. I mean, this was the little four-cylinder, you know, giant beater, which is kind of like overachiever. You know, that little teeny engine would go after the big boys. And that's why so many of us love old Porsches, too, is because 911s were going after the big Ferraris and all the, you know, the big displacement muscle cars and stuff like that with these little engines. So the fact that this car has this little teeny engine and, you know, a 911 has a slightly bigger engine and they, you know, get basically the same track times on almost lap times on almost every test. They're just fantastic cars. Everybody wants one. The biggest red flag I'm seeing on this is this must be a boomer that owns it. The Rolling Stone cassettes, the Elton John, Fine Young Cannibals. I mean, that just makes me really kind
of, there's one flaw on the car, and the seller in the glove has box. Taken two pictures. The passenger the side rear box fenders, there's like a key mark that they didn't have that panel repainted, and that's a bummer. Like, who the hell would take a key to a car like this? That is such a hater little dick move to do. Like, people like that. You know?
Kudos to the seller for disclosing it and letting everybody know that's there. And honestly, I'm glad they didn't try to fix it. Because they would have screwed it up because they couldn't get the bumper cover right. So would have, you know, it's one thing to have a bumper that's not painted right. You can get that right pretty easily because you don't have to blend anything. But trying to blend paint on a fender, on a box fender like this, that's something that is going to require someone that really knows what the hell they're doing. And clearly the person that they brought it to didn't. So good, leave it for the next person to deal with. I mean, this is the kind of car, frankly, if I own this car with the miles it has on it, if you get this car for a decent price, this is a fantastic driver that, screw it, leave the scratch. Yeah. It's going to get more scratches.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Absolutely.
This is not a collector example of an M3. So with all that said, what do you think the results of this auction will be?
So, John, our car has even gotten a bump this morning. It was at $42,000 last night when I made my notes. It's up to $45,000 today, and it closes a couple of days from now. Again, this example is in Seattle, Washington, showing 125,000 miles. The guy who bought it in September of 2018 put less than 1,000 miles on it, but spent the money to get it mechanically sorted out and address some of the things that this car needed. So I would say, you know, aside from perhaps repainting that front lower valance, that this car is kind of tuned up and ready to go and ready to be enjoyed. And as a miler, this is a car, just like you said, JP, you can drive unconsciously and just not worry about it, which I think is the right way to own one of these. I don't think I'd want to own one that I'd be scared to get a rock chip on because I spent $150,000 on a 25,000 mile example. Make mine a 125,000 mile example that is as clean as this one and was previously owned by Mike Anderson. Thank you very much. So at $45,000 on like four bids, closes in a couple of days, JP, I think that this car is going to get into the 80,000 mile range. It's not going to break 100, but I think because it's clean, because everything is disclosed, and because they spent some money mechanically to get the car, the problems addressed, I do think this car is going to do pretty well, and it's on the right platform. I'm gonna go for it. I think this car is gonna bring like $84,000. I could be wrong. It might peter out in the 60s, but I don't think that's gonna happen. It's got a lot of comments. There's a lot of dialogue on it, and a lot of engagement, as you would expect from such a popular model as an E30 M3. So I think this one's gonna do well. At least I'm hopeful of that. So I'm gonna give it to you, John, at $84,000. Go ahead and tell me I'm nuts, or agree with me and surprise everybody. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. The values on these have really kind of shifted around all over the place. We saw some really crazy numbers. I think this is a driving video from that previous auction that you had talked about.
Exactly.
Looks like Avant-Garde had it, and they've got a good reputation and stuff like that.
And they mic'd the exhaust. This video is actually really great to listen to because the car sounds fantastic with the mic right next to the exhaust. It's a great video. If you go and watch it, it's worth your time.
Yeah, so, I mean, your bid is what, 84?
84.
Yeah, I'm going to go pretty low. I'm going to be at 70, and I say it doesn't sell. I think I'm a little concerned about something about this to me says high reserve and won't get anywhere. The fact that they bought it from Avant-Garde means they probably think it's I don't know. Something strikes me weird about this car. I can't quite put my finger on it, but I just think it's going to peter out because it's not perfect. It's got some miles. That bumper cover is bugging me. Looking at some of the comments below, the comments are fairly good. The seller is engaging and everything like that. But I'm just I don't know. There's something about I think that bumper is like not the right bumper too, and there's maybe the wrong badge on it. There's a bunch of little weird things that aren't terrible that all make this car fantastic. I'm not saying it's a bad car at all. I'd love this to be in the garage and I'd love to be able to drive the heck out of this thing, but I just don't think it's going to bring the big money. I don't think it's an example of one that would. Our friend Lenny, he has that one that's like a perfect restoration, and I don't know if he went and sold it yet or not. I know he's talking about doing that, but that's the kind of car that I think could potentially bring six figures or something like that. But this one, I just don't see it happening. So what do you guys think out there in the nerd herd? Put in the comments below what you think will happen with this car. What will the auction results be? Do you think it's going to bring the big money like Deep does, or do you think it's going to peter out on BAT? Should they have put this on a different platform? What do you think? What about Hagerty Marketplace? I mean, what kind of cars are you guys looking for over there?
Well,
this is the kind
right
of car
now,
you guys would carry, right?
Hagerty Marketplace right now is featuring a whole collection of cars from the Midwest. That's the you put me on the spot, I forget, but it's the classic Resto or something. But it's domestic car heavy, a lot of Corvettes, a lot of muscle cars and stuff like that. Hagerty, I think, is going to have feature a strong variety of cars, but at the moment in their first year in existence, at the moment they are very domestic heavy. So I don't know if today this M3 would do better on Hagerty Marketplace than it would on Bring a Trailer, but it might in the future as they continue to grow that platform, and I hopefully will be a part of that. But right now I think this is on the right platform for this car, especially since it has history on BAT. It sold here before.
Let's find out right after this. Hey guys, I gotta tell you about our friends Godin Porsche of Las Vegas and Godin Classic. If you're looking for a new Porsche or a classic, you gotta call our friend Steve at Godin. Save yourself the hassle of screwing around with all the auctions like we always talk about and just talk to Steve. He'll find you the classic Porsche you're looking for, Godin Porsche of Las Vegas. All right, we're back to the future here. We're pulling the lever on the slot machine that is the car casino over at BAT. One of our subscribers called it the car casino. Have you heard that term, Michael Deeb? I think that's a great way to put it these days because results are just getting wacky out there. That's all. It really is a car casino when you put your car up for auction on some of these platforms. And I think BAT is probably the biggest of them all because when it comes to results, we have seen E30 M3 results all over the place. We've seen this era of BMW results all over the place. And I think this particular result is one that lands somewhere all over the place. So, Michael D, what happened with this little E30 BMW?
Nothing happened. I'm bummed, man. I really thought it was going to go good. I still believe, although I have not reached out directly, I believe this is Mike Anderson's old car. Mike's a great car guy. I would have loved to own this thing. It was at $42,000 on just three bids when we covered it, John. I went big. White, black, reasonable miles, very clean car, driver condition, looks to be all there, and it looks like the current owner, the seller, had spent some money on the vehicle. So I said $84,000. You came in pretty far underneath me, John, at 70 grand. Our car sold on Bring a Trailer JP for just $64,500. So your bid actually is right on the money, JP. You know, at $5,000 away, you were within 8% of this selling price. So good on you because you kind of nailed this one. I thought Mike's car would have got a little more love than that. I certainly believe in it. Maybe it might had kind of rose-tinted bid behavior because I knew who owned it previously, or at least I think I did. I also love white black. Like if I wanted an M3, I do want an M3. If I were going to search for one, this would be kind of the car I'd be looking for. A little bit of a miler in white and black and in a car that's affordable. I just think you could get it for 20 grand less than what I imagine they would go for. So there you are, JP. I definitely outkicked my coverage on this one, but JP, you were right there. Talking about the market being all over the place, are you surprised by this result? Did you expect your bid to be low or high or right on the money compared to where it landed? Because yeah, I'm clearly out of the park. What do you think of this result based on the number you gave me?
I was expecting a split somewhere in the middle. I thought, you know, this is going to be, okay. Inflation is still a thing, kids. So with that said, you would expect the price to kind of, you know, go up or whatever. But I think this is just kind of like value meeting price. Values are going to go down, but prices are going to stay kind of high. $60,000+ is not a very high price for this, what I think is a really fantastic car. I mean, would you choose this over a 911 SC? You know, like a run-of-the-mill 911 SC, because 911 SCs that we've been talking about, that's probably the most common car that we talk about on this show, right? How many times have we talked about the fact that because of inflation, 60 is the new 30, right? 911 SCs went from being $30,000+ all day to $60,000+, and nice ones are bringing 80, right? With this kind of miles. And if I'm looking at between 60 and 80 for a run-of-the-mill SC or this really nice M3, I'm taking the M3 all day long, guys. There's no question about it. This is the better car. On paper, you could make an argument that the SC has more power or something like that, but not much. The engine in the back and all that stuff. I mean, I guess not. It's
no.
The M3, I think, is a bit more of a sense of occasion, too. I mean, you just don't see M3s around like you see a gajillion different, you know, run-of-the-mill 911s. I love 911s. Of course I love 911s, but $64,000 for a driver class, really darn nice E30 M3 in this colorway, like you said, I think is kind of a bargain, but I also think it's going to be kind of the new normal. I think people are going to be, I think we're going to, what we're about to see is some stagflation. I think that truly special cars are going to continue to tick up in price, because inflation is going up and people are going to be looking for places to kind of park their money, as a hedge. They are going to, they're printing more money. The feds didn't do another BIP rate. They actually kind of paused for a second, but they've said that they're going to do it a couple more times before the end of the year. But they also just approved another $4 trillion. So, they're printing, which means there's just going to be more money in the system one way or the other. Every time they send another $100 billion or whatever to Ukraine, that's really going to, you know, some Raytheon or whatever, which really is really money that's just going to buddies of, you know, politicians and stuff like that. So that just means more money that's going to be dumped into our system. That's going to keep causing inflation. So one hand isn't really paying attention to what the other side is, or it is on purpose and it's even worse. So yeah, I expect what that means in prices and in cars is that the really special stuff will continue to tick up in price. And the stuff that's not the creme, you know, the really top end stuff is going to stagflate. It means people won't be able to lower the price because they'll feel like they're losing too much. And no one will have the money to spend that kind of money to match what people's expectations are. And, you know, will there be the occasional deal where someone really has to dump something? Sure. But I think there's still just going to be enough money running around. You know, credit is going to be the biggest issue. What do you think of all that, Michael Deep?
I'm going to go back to what you said about would you rather have this or the SC? And it's interesting because you're crediting the $30,000 SC that is now $65,000 or the same price as this E30 M3 per your juxtaposition of these two cars for our analysis, 100% on inflation. And I would just counter that a little bit and say I think part of that increase, part of it, not all of it, is that they have gone up, like that there's a greater demand for them because 3.2 Carreras are now, you know, the nice ones are $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 and that sort of thing. And, you know, Speedsters are back up over $200,000 and all this nonsense and that sort of thing.
Well, there was a 964 Speedster that FTS'd like $130,000 just a couple of weeks ago too. So yeah, I don't know about that one. It's weird.
Well, that could be a whole nother story, but what I would say, as much as I love the E30 M3, and I've never owned one and I would like to, I think I would like to have an SC because to me it still feels like SCs are on the way up, whereas E30 M3s feel like they've come down a little bit. Again, to your credit about just sort of not extra special cars. We didn't get unique versions of the E30 M3. The E30 M3 in all its time here is largely unchanged. We didn't get any special edition models. So if you take the E30 M3 as a car that was in production and sold in North America for, I can't remember, 4 years or 5 years or something like that.
88 to what, 92 or something like
that?
Yeah,
I think so. I think at least 91, but maybe 92. Then what you're talking about is a car with big production numbers in the U.S. and it's just not that special. They're common, kind of, if that makes any sense. At any given moment in the marketplace, there's probably a couple dozen of them for sale. So I think that's kind of hurting.
I don't know. I haven't noticed that. Maybe you're paying closer attention to it.
I do. You have to look at all the you know, Hemmings and Auto Trader and eBay. There's E30 M3s everywhere. And now with all of the, you know, there's almost always an E30 M3 on Bring a Trailer. And then occasionally you'll see one on one of the other platforms. So these cars are out there. And so it just feels like SCs are on the move and E30 M3s are kind of regressing. Now, E36 M3 is a different story. They've taken off, but E30s have come back to earth, and this result is one of them. So right now, I don't know if I'd want to park my money in an E30 M3 if they're on the regression. And so I thank you for that question, because I wouldn't have imagined comparing these two cars, but they are a great comparison. And to my own surprise, I'd probably park my money in an SC right now.
Do you think the SC is going to continue to keep creeping up versus the M3?
Look at mid-year Carreras. They're $120,000. They're crazy money.
Yeah.
So explain to me, in the air-cooled, the accordion bumper era, which car is the turd right now? None of them. They're all going in the right direction. I think I stole my car at $100,000. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. I think the 3.2s are the ones that are taking it in the shorts, because the mid-years and the SEs are catching up to them, and it just doesn't seem. But the 3.2s are just kind of like staying where they're at. I mean, we saw E30 M3s at the height of everything, you know, a year and a half ago or so.
Oh yeah.
Geez, those were hitting well over 100. You know, for nice ones. I think this car a year and a half ago easily would have done 90. So, and that's when SCs still weren't getting to 100 at their peak. So SCs just keep creeping up. It's something about the M3 really is a Radwood era car, and is very, 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 very specific to a certain age demographic.
I agree with you on that point. Yeah, I do.
Whereas the 911 shape just crosses so many different eras and demographics of people that actually want them. BMW has just not done a good job as a factory supporting their classic division, or whatever the heck they call it. I don't hear of BMW stuff going on, and all the new BMWs are horrible. Like, nobody wants a new BMW. They are just the ugliest cars on the planet. Whereas the new Porsches that are coming out just keep getting better and better and better, which I think drags everything older up as well. So I don't know. What do you guys think out there? What happened with the results of this little E30? Do you think it is representative of a market trend for this era of BMW, and this one in particular? Would you rather have this car over an SE like I would? Or would you say, nope, I'm going to be a little smarter with my money and go with the up trade, go with that that train that's going up, pull that lever on the car casino on BAT and see what you get? And we will see you guys next time on Bid Nerds. Thanks for hanging out, guys. Bye.
Nerd! Get those nerds!